Morning, guys. It's a nice intimate meeting. Should we all just come? I forgot. These are recorded, so we should be more serious. Let's open our Bibles today. Let's open them to Matthew chapter 6. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read from verses 1 to 4. So we're going to read from Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 to 4. And the Word of God says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So, when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for your word, God, and the truth which you have given us to set us free. And so, God, this morning we want to go deeper into your truth. We want to go deeper into your word, Father, so that not only would our minds be filled with knowledge, God, of who you are and what you've done, but also, God, even more so, that we might live our lives in the freedom that you offer. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us this morning and that our hearts would be fertile soil for the truth, the seed of your word today. So we thank you, and all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Matthew chapter 6 is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, one of, if not the most famous sermon in the entire world. And so the best way to have a good message is basically to talk about the most famous message that has ever been given. Good morning, guys. And for those of you, have you guys ever taken the Myers-Briggs, the personality tests? Morning. The Myers-Briggs personality test. And basically, if you guys don't know, the Myers-Briggs personality test basically is a test, a bunch of questions, and it evaluates what kind of personality you are. So it's broken up basically into four different parts. The first one is how you interact with the world, right? So do you interact with the world externally? Are you an extrovert? Or do you prefer to be in your own personal world, which is you're an introvert? The next one is, how do you process information, right? When you take it, do you just take in the basic information that you're getting, the sensory, or are you adding meaning to it? So are you a sensing person? Are you an intuitive person? The next one is, how do you make decisions? Do you make it based on logic, or do you make it based on or how you're feeling about the circumstances, thinking versus feeling? And the last one is how you deal with structures. Basically, how do you decide on, do you look at certain situations and you make a judgment? You decide, or as you look at the circumstances, you're very flexible, and as new information comes in, you're able to sort of adapt to that. So are you judging or are you perceiving? And based on that, basically the Myers-Briggs tries to figure out what is your personality type, right? So if you guys have ever taken it, it's going to be something like ENFP or I. Well, you know, I don't have to explain the entire thing to you, right? But then if you look at it, actually each of the, and when you have your letter code, they're actually descriptions of what that letter code is. So for example, some people, certain combinations, it will be called, if you're this combination, then you're called the artist, right? The artist. Another one is the inspirer. Actually, that's my personality type. I am an inspirer. Are you guys feeling inspired this morning? I hope so. You know, there's the idealist, there's the scientist, there's the visionary, there's the executive, right? All these cool-sounding things. And when you read it, you're like, yeah, I am that thing. I am a scientist. I am an executive. And then there's one, though. There's one that is the least popular one that I've ever seen. And the description, the name of it is the duty fulfiller. The duty fulfiller, right? I have a couple of friends who are duty fulfillers. And they hate being duty fulfillers, right? Everyone else is like, what are you? I'm like, I'm a scientist. What are you? I'm an inspirer. What are you? I fulfill duties, all right? And they're like, I've never met a duty fulfiller who said, I love being a duty fulfiller. Everyone I met are always like, I hate being a duty fulfiller. It doesn't sound very cool, right? To be a duty fulfiller. Everybody wants to have the cool personality type. I wish I was the executive, right? I want to be the CEO. I want to be this. I want to be that. But for the person who's the duty fulfiller and says, I want to be the executive, I look at them and I say, no. That's a perfect description of who you are. You are exactly a duty fulfiller. I look at them and I'm like, yes. That is why this brother and this sister, that is why every time I see them, they're always fulfilling some kind of duty. And I look at it and I'm like, that's a perfect description of you. But it's not very cool to be called a duty fulfiller. We want something that's more out there, something that sounds cooler, something that's more, I guess, what's the word? Like when you're out in front of people, you want to be proud of saying it, right? I'm a scientist. I'm an inspirer. And here in Matthew chapter 6, 1-4, verse 1, it begins with a word of warning. It says, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them, right? And this is actually quite an apt warning for us, right? Why does a duty fulfiller hate to be called a duty fulfiller? Why do they not want a more flashy Myers-Briggs personality? Why do we so often want recognition for the things that we do? That's just our personality, right? That this is quite a normal thing for us. And yet verse 1 begins, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Because if you do that, it says, you will have no reward with your Father. And in our desire, we always have that desire to be recognized. I mean, yes, we say, yes, God, I know that you are watching my every step. But in our hearts, really, we want the person right next to us to recognize, hey, I'm a good person. Or, hey, I did something good. Or, hey, I've served at church. Can you recognize me for this thing? Or, hey, this is my accomplishment. Why don't you praise me for that? Right? You know, in church, I would say I'm one of the worship leaders, and so I would say actually one of the easiest. People always say, "Wow, it must be so hard to go up there and have to lead both services and lead worship and have to decide on which songs to do and get your team together and come in early in the morning and practice, etc., etc." And you know, I would say, no, it's actually not true. I would say one of the easiest services is to be a worship leader. Why? Because people are very nice. You know, after worship, people come up to me and they're like, thank you. Thank you for that time of worship. As if I was the one who reached into their heart and touched it, right? They say, thank you. Thank you for that time of worship. And people recognize it. They're like, oh yeah, that guy, he was a good singer. Oh yeah, that guy, he's really good at guitar. Oh yeah, that girl, she's really good at drums. Right? It's the easiest service at church. You know what the hardest service at church is? It's to be on the cleanup crew after each of the services, right? And this is because when you're on the cleanup crew after each of the services, everybody's already leaving. Everybody's mind is already out of here, right? Everybody always wants to leave. And so if you look right after Sunday, if you stay for just half an hour more and you just look around, you'll see the person who's on duty for cleanup that day, and they're just by themselves, very lonely, right? They're vacuuming, they're wiping down something. And for us, I think it might also be because we're so used to service here in Hong Kong, right? Like in McDonald's, we don't clean up our own garbage. A lot of us have our helpers, right? So they just do stuff. And so for us, we just like faded out, right? We don't even think about it. Oh, they're just cleaning. Okay, good. Hey, buddy, how are you doing? And we just talk, right? And when their vacuum comes around, you're like, oh, excuse me. And then you go right back to doing the thing you're doing. And you don't even acknowledge the person who's vacuuming. And the entire time, the person is, they have to stay afterwards, so all their friends are leaving. Right, and nobody's thanking them, and they're doing the best that they can because they want to clean up church. I would say that is possibly the most difficult job next to PowerPoint in our church, right? The thankless job, the job where if you do wrong, you get blamed, but if you do right, people are like, well, of course you should do that. You're supposed to not make mistakes, right? And that's how our heart is usually. We want that recognition. We want that recognition of people. But you know, many people take this to start, and then people see that, and they see their heart, and they're like, they read the verse like this, like, don't do it to be noticed by men. Do it so that you can please God. And they're like, okay, I'm going to start being humble, right? And so a lot of people, they have a lot of false humility too. I don't know if you've ever met anybody like this. You know, the false humble person is the person who is trying to gain attention to themselves by not gaining attention to themselves. You know, that person, they're like, oh, no. Don't worry about me, guys. No. You don't need to recognize that I'm vacuuming this floor. No, I'm doing this for God. Excuse me, brother, could you move your foot? Move your foot. Yeah, I'm trying to vacuum and do the work of God, but please don't thank me for this, right? The person who's always trying to draw attention to themselves by not drawing attention, right? And that's what we, and for many people, you know, not to this extreme, but we consider that false humility. You know, this is the kind of humility that we try to live out of. Oh, no, not me. Please. But in your heart, you're like, yeah, me. That was me. So here, what is Jesus trying to talk about? What is Jesus trying to tell us? You know, here we see in verse 1 to 4, Jesus is talking about giving to the poor. He's talking about how you're supposed to give. You know, don't give by sounding trumpets in the synagogues in the streets. Do it in secret so that your Father will reward you in secret. But Jesus, I think, here is not just talking about giving, but really he's talking about a framework for how our hearts need to be aligned, right? He's giving us a framework for how we need to think about the things that we're doing in our life. And so today, this morning, I just want to share with us as our devotion, just three things that I believe that Jesus is telling us, and how we need to start aligning our hearts in our lives. How we need to start thinking about the things that are in our lives. The first thing that I believe that Jesus is saying to us is he's saying that we need to let our motivation be God. Right? When I wrote it, I was like, that's a very generic statement that everybody here will know. But it's true. It's let our motivation be God. You know, as a worship leader, I said that people praise me. So they say, oh, thank you for the worship. That was really great. Great music, right? And then in my heart, sometimes even now, you know, I take these nuggets of praise and I say, yes, thank you. And then, you know, I come back and, you know, I'll remember. Because when somebody compliments you or when somebody says something nice about you, you're like, oh, I feel better. Thank you for saying that. I wasn't sure if anybody noticed all the hard work I put in, but thank you for noticing, right? And so I hold this in. And for example, let's say Jackie here, he compliments me. He said, hey, great worship that week. If I come back to Jackie 2 weeks later and I was like, hey, Jackie, remember that time when you said great worship? Thanks for that. I'm almost 80, 90% sure Jackie's going to be like, he's going to say, oh, yeah, no problem. But in his mind, he's like, I completely don't remember at all what I said to you or what you did or what kind of worship it was, right? And that's it is. Because when we try to work for the praise of man, yes, men, I mean, usually, and just to be nice, we give it very easily. Oh, nice haircut. Oh, nice worship. Oh, nice shoes. We say that. And we say it, but it's basically eye and the mouth, or ear and the mouth, right? We're not really thinking about it, and it's a very shallow thing. It's not like we're looking at, I'm not looking at Jackie's, I'm using you because you're in front. I'm not looking at Jackie's shoes. I'm mentally processing it, memorizing the shape of the shoe, and then going, yes, Jackie, those are nice shoes. No, I'm just saying, nice shoes, Jackie, right? Out of my mouth. And what happens is, It's nice. It's like candy, right? It's sweet to the mouth, but in 10 seconds, it's gone, right? And already, the reward is already given to you. And that's your reward. Here's a taste, the sweetness, and then it's gone. But what we see here is for those kind of people who are seeking after, when we seek after the praise of man instead of the praise of God, our reward is already given in full, but the reward in full that we're given is very shallow. It's a shallow reward that we're getting in full. You know, there's a scene in Noah, and he's on the ark, and there's a scene, there's just one word in just the story about Noah and the ark, and it said, and God remembered Noah, right? And when you read this whole story about Noah and all these things happening, all these animals coming and all the floods and all the whole story, and we see the world is destroyed, and in the middle of that it says, and God remembered Noah. And when you look at a sentence like that, you kind of pass over it. But it's significant because the writer felt it was important for the reader to know that God remembered Noah, right? And we see with God, what kind of God is the God that we serve? He's a God that remembers our good deeds, and because of his grace, he forgets our evil. And so what happens is that when we put our motivation as God, and we put our praise that we desire is from God, what we're basically saying is that God, we want something that's eternal. We want something that's lasting. You know, everything that we're doing right now in this life, it says your Father will reward you, right? And what that means is that God, he's remembering every single little detail of every good act that we've ever done for his name. There's nothing that we're doing in this life. Oftentimes we do something, we're doing it in secret, even we forget about it. We feel forgotten about it, but oftentimes we even forget about the good things that we do. Can I ask any of you, what did you do 2 years ago? What was the good deed that you did 2 years ago on this day? None of us here would be able to remember, but God remembers. Right? God remembers exactly what you did 2 years ago on August 23rd. And that good deed is in his memory. And he is preparing to reward you. Right? He's the one who's going to continue to remember this thing. And so the first thing Jesus is saying about how our hearts should be aligned is seek after the lasting prize. Let God be our motivation. The second thing I believe he's saying to us today is that we need to stop focusing on ourselves. In chapter 6, verse 3, it says, "But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing." I was reading this and I was like, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. I know all. My right hand is waving. Obviously, I don't know what my left hand. I don't even know what my left hand is thinking. So I don't really know. I was reading this and I was trying to figure out, well, what does this mean, God? What does it mean not to let your left hand know what your right hand is doing? But then the one thing that kind of came to my mind as I was meditating on this is this idea of where our focus is, right? Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Instead of saying that your left hand has a brain and it's thinking about what your right hand is doing, another way of thinking about this is this idea that don't focus on what your two hands are doing in front of you, right? If you guys ever see a girl who's just recently got engaged, right? Just carefully observe them. One of the things I think you'll notice, I noticed this in not only many new, not only in my own wife when I proposed to her, but also in other engaged women, is as you'll observe that as the engaged woman, as she does anything that requires her hand to come into her field of vision, her eye will suddenly go to that ring, right? Especially if it's a diamond, right? So she, like, oftentimes it'll be like, hey, can you turn off the light? She's like, oh, sure. And just stops and just looks. Oh, it's so pretty. And they forget about the light, right? And this is what happens, right? I mean, when there's something, we're like, oh, we're so focused. We're so focused here, right? And I believe that this left hand, not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing, is part of this idea of self-awareness, right? Right? We're always so aware of what we're doing, of our own actions. You know, we always say, no, do it for the greater good. But usually we're doing it, and we're very aware that we're doing it, and we're very focused on the fact that I am the one doing this good deed. And as I'm focusing on myself, I want immediate gratification. I want immediately, I do this thing, and good feelings to come. We're like that in prayer too, right? I want to pray right now, God, help me, or God, answer me, or God, be with me, and I want God's presence to come immediately. Right here, right now. And I want that immediate gratification so that I can feel good. So that I can be the center of what's happening. When I give to the poor, if I'm doing it for man, I'm not doing it so that the poor will benefit. I'm doing it so that I will benefit. And it says here in verse 2, it says, do not do it as the hypocrites do in the streets so that they may be honored by men. That phrase, be honored by men, it's actually a Greek word. It's the word doxasso. And what the word doxasso means is to receive glory, receive praise. And if we look actually in chapter 5, verse 16, you don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to read it. It says in chapter 5, verse 16, it says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And this is a verse we're familiar with. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And that word glorify is that very same word, doxasso. Right? It's this word doxasso, to glorify, to receive praise. And yet, we see here, there's a difference between what we're reading in chapter 6, because it's saying, let your light shine before men, right? So basically, in chapter 6, it's saying, do things in secret. In chapter 5, it's saying, do things so that other men will see. So the seeing of other men of the action is the same. Men are perceiving both things. One, God is saying, that's bad. And another way, God is saying, that's good. And why? What is the difference? Is at the end of this verb, doxasso, of this glorify, who is the one being glorified? Right? And that is the difference of what's happening here. Yes, it's not about, see, we talked about false humility earlier. It's not about people not knowing what you do. I mean, it would be very hard for me as a worship leader to worship in secret. That would be like me hunching here in the corner and just singing into the mic. Right? It's okay for people to see that I'm up here worshiping, but the result of that cannot be, thank you, Pastor Hyunsu, for leading worship. It can't be, thank you, Pastor Hyunsu, for being such a good worship leader. It must be, thank you, God, for leading me into this time of worship. And I glorify you, God, for what has happened today. And so we need to stop focusing on ourselves. We need to stop having our gratification for ourselves. But our action needs to be that we might have this glory be given to God, right? And what's the opposite of that happening is that when we do focus on ourselves, basically it's a form of idolatry, and the idol is ourself, right? This worship should be going to God, but instead it's coming right to me. So we need to let God be our motivation, and we need to stop focusing on ourselves. The third thing for our framework, and I think we need, and this is the thing that we need to focus our eyes on today, is that we need to focus our eyes on the promise that God is making to us. And in verse 4 it says, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And this word, it says that he sees, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And that word sees, it's a continuous verb. It's a continuous verb. And what does that mean is that our Father is constantly looking, constantly seeing. It's an action that is continuous. It is an action that is repeated. And what it is God is saying, is assuring us, I see you today. I see you right now, every single action that you're doing today. And God is so good because God, he's basically the worst accountant in the world, because he takes no minuses. He takes no account of the minuses that we do, but only he adds. Right. And for us today, let's start making that be our focus. That we need to start holding on to these promises that God gives us. You know, whenever God says something like this, where it says he will do something, especially when the Son of God says something about our Father, I think this is something that we can trust. That our Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Right? And oftentimes, you know, in our life, whether that's in work, whether that's in our relationships, whether that's in our service here at church, we receive no recognition, or not the recognition that we think we should be getting, right? We are faithful in our workplaces. We do things, even though everybody else may be cheating in our heart. I'm like, oh, no, I shouldn't cheat. I should work for you, God. I should follow after what you do. And we do our best. And sometimes our boss doesn't recognize us. Right? Sometimes we're in a relationship and we're trying our best to do our best in this relationship. But for the person, they only can see our worst. They see the worst of what we do and they make judgments based on that. And suddenly all of our good works are meaningless. And we think, there was no point in that. There's no point in me trying so hard. You know, oftentimes, even as we serve here in church, for many of us who serve for many years, nobody here at church notices us anymore. And because nobody notices, we start losing heart. And what I'm doing, is that even having an effect? Is it even good? Are people even appreciating it? And suddenly I lose interest. I become dry in the thing that I do, thinking that it has no greater purpose other than just to do that duty that needs to be fulfilled. And yet I see that today here that there's a beautiful promise that the Father is giving us. That the Father is saying that I am seeing every single thing that you are doing, every single action, every single thing that you think is not being recognized, I have recognized it, and I will repay you. I will repay you. It is a promise that God is giving us today. So this morning, as we come into a time of worship, let's spend some time in meditation. Spend some time really spending some time with God and asking Him, God, what has been my motivation in my heart? You know, what are the reasons that I'm doing my things? Am I doing it for you, God, or have I been doing it for me? Have I been focused on myself and the rewards that I can receive from the people around me, or am I focused on you, God? And if today you're coming in and you've been feeling frustrated, if you've been feeling underappreciated, or you just feel like you've been knocking on a wall that is not moving, if you've been feeling like you've been banging your head against a door that's not opening, let's lift that up before God today. And as Jackie leads us in the song of worship, let's let the truth of the promise that God offers, let's let that meditate and let's let that soak into our hearts this morning.
Stillness, you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you, 'cause I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. In the secret, in the quiet place, in the stillness, you are there. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you, and I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I am reaching for the highest goal, that I might receive the prize. Pressing onward, pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way. I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more.
So let's update our prayer this morning. And let's just spend some time right now just seeking after God, that we might want to know Him more, that we might seek His face. Let's ask the Holy Spirit right now to start moving in our hearts, to start realigning the things that are in our hearts. You know, if we've worked for man, if we've worked for career, if we've worked for the praise that so readily comes but is so easily forgotten by those around us, let's ask God for a realignment of our hearts this morning, that we might take faith that He is giving us our reward. He will give it to us. And that we will put those things in our heart aside and really focus on Him today. So let's pray together. Let's start praying for our community. Let's start praying for those in our body who are suffering right now from cancer, who are going through chemo and radiation, and who are recovering from surgery. And let's just really pray for God's healing hand, His restorative hand on each and every one of our brothers and sisters. Let's pray together. Let's also pray for those in our community who are suffering from illnesses, but not only illnesses, but also that separation from God, that really need that word of salvation. Let's really pray for the Holy Spirit to come and really touch their hearts and their bodies for restoration of their flesh, but also restoration of their souls. So let's pray. Let's also pray for those in our community who are suffering from other infirmities. And let's just continue to press in and pray for their healing. Let's continue to pray for those in our community who are looking for jobs, and that they will continue to trust God as God prepares just exactly that career, that job that He is preparing for them in the background right now. And as we turn to our mission focus, let's pray for Indonesia and for Singapore. Let's just really pray for not only the ministries here in Hong Kong that are ministering to these people groups, but also for the churches abroad. And let's just really pray for these communities, for our brothers and sisters, that God will continue to lead them. Let's also continue to pray for our education ministries. Let's pray for Noah's Ark, for SP Youth, for SPU. And let's just continue to pray not only for the students who are in these ministries, but also for the teachers. And let's just really pray that that in this next generation, that God would continue to touch lives for this next generation of believers who are growing up. Let's also continue to pray for Alpha, our new Alpha program that's starting, and also for the new discipleship classes. And as we continue to train up, our brothers and sisters, as they continue to receive training, let's just really pray for not only for them to be filled with knowledge, but also through that they would experience God even more. And especially through this Alpha course, let's pray for the right people, the right teachers to come, but also the right members for these classes, that especially as they come, it's tailored for non-Christians, that really God even now would start working in the hearts of these pre-believers, that He would continue to be speaking to them even before this class begins. So let's pray together. Let's also pray for SP 2.0, for our new building and our donor that has been prophesied over us. Let's really continue to pray for God's provision and for God's timing as we prepare for our new building in the future. Let's also continue to pray for the weekend activities. Let's pray for our Growing in Christ Discipleship course. Let's pray for our EMP Bible study. Let's pray for the Sunday service as well as the Noah's Ark. Let's also pray for the worship time, for the hospitality, for the SP Youth, for Yahweh. And let's just pray for all the meetings. So let's just really cover over them in prayer and really pray that God will continue to use all these weekend activities for His glory. Finally, let's pray for our local outreach. Let's pray for our prison outreach. And as our brothers and sisters enter into these prisons to minister to the women there, let's just really pray for God to continue to speak, not only to these women in these prisons, but also that there would be hope that would arise even in the midst of their incarceration. So let's pray together. And so, God, we thank You this morning. God, we thank You for all the ways that You are working in our church, all the ways that You are working in the lives of those who, yes, are suffering right now. But, God, we believe that You are the healer and that You can do an amazing work of healing. And so, with faith, God, we pray these prayers. And, God, this morning, we just want to continue to press in, Father, and continue to seek after You, putting aside the things of ourself, putting aside the things of what we want to receive, and instead turning all of that, Father, into worship of You, God, to glory for You. God, we thank You for Your promise that You will never leave us, but also for Your promise that You will also reward us and You will not forget the things that we have done in Your name. So God, we thank You for this morning. I thank You for my brothers and sisters, and I pray that as we leave this place, God, as we continue to live our lives in faith for You, God, that our hearts will continue again and again to be realigned to Your cross. We love You. We thank You. And all this we pray in Jesus' name.